We are going to turn to God's Word in Galatians chapter 4. A young man, last Lord's Day, came up to me and he said, "What's that? I'm not sure what day it was." We did have our, we had our Zoom Presbytery prayer meeting on Tuesday. And we've for years had a conflicting prayer meeting with that. It was established years before a bunch of preachers come, and we pray on the first Tuesday of each month, and we do that after our presbytery prayer meeting. And that young man after that prayer meeting came up and he said, "We don't know what month Jesus was born." Well, that's true. But Spurgeon said, if you go back to the old preachers, the old commentators, he said that they give very learned arguments for every different month of the year. But he said people's minds are on this during the month of December. So you might as well preach about Jesus and his coming into the world, because that's where their mind is anyway. And we are so glad that all around our country, at 43 of our state capitals, there is a visible remembrance that our Savior came into the world. And we thank God that we have Christian roots as a nation because of the Lord's goodness. And so we have been for decades in our congregation. When we come to December, we have a hymn request time on Sunday evening. And even at the end of, after Thanksgiving, some of the kids feel like they have the license to ask for a song about the Savior's birth during the hymn request time. We generally reserve that to the month of December. But this old preacher has been preaching for decades in December on the Savior's birth. So we come today to Galatians chapter 4. Because I've been preaching through the book of Galatians I don't know how long. And so we came to Galatians chapter 4. And beginning to read at verse 1, let us hear God's precious, eternal, infallible word. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And that basically means that we were just doing our ABCs, the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 7, and we trust that the Lord will bless his word to us as we meditate upon it today. So let us pray. O Lord, we confess our need of thee, that the arm of flesh is certain of failure. O, we need thee, Holy Spirit, for thou hast breathed this word through the Apostle Paul so long ago. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give help, give utterance to the preacher. Give me a hearing ear and an understanding heart, and do that for thy people. Oh God, do us good today. to the glory of thy name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is a wellspring of pure angelic joy. It is our privilege to sing with happiness in our hearts, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Christ's birth at Bethlehem is the source of our unending delight. Even the poor, benighted of all those around us that are so hopeless, and yet they perceive that there is something special to celebrate. Though they don't understand, they know that for some reason Christians have great joy at this time. And in the divine will, Christ's first advent marked the passing of God's people from childhood into adulthood. That's what this context is about. Moving out of that era when God's people were basically living as servants or slaves under the ceremonies of the old law, and then brought into the liberty of the sons of God. Brought from childhood in the ancient testament into the adulthood of the wonders of being in Christ. Christ himself pointed this out. He said that as great as John the Baptist was, yet the coming of Christ and his kingdom, that one of the least in the kingdom of God was greater than John the Baptist. Luke 7 and verse 28. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and believers are now in a new age. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, not just the fullness of time, but the fullness of the time, God's time. So that is our first point. The fullness of the time has come. So the greatest man in world history was born. God sent forth his son, made of a woman. The time was at its fullness. It was the perfect time. It was the right time. It was the fullness of the time. Here is the fullness of the humility of the Son of God, as he took full union with himself of our humanity. The Son of God came fully under the burden of our sin, for he was made under the law, verse 4 tells us. The Son was made under the fullness of our heavy burden. He was made under the moral law. He was made not only under the Jewish civil law, but he was made under the ceremonial law, the law of circumcisions, sacrifices, feasts, and special days that some people are still mistakenly wanting to carry on. It was a heavy burden, as Peter called it. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 10, Peter called it a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. That was his view of the old ceremonies and all of the things having to do with Judaism. Let's don't go back to that, Paul tells the Galatians. No. Yet Christ, our Savior, was the one to bear all of that burden. Amen. The burden of the ceremonial law, for all of it, for the Father's glory and for the good of his people. The Son of God fully gave himself to the keeping of every particular part of the law. To the Father he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And can you look at a point in your life where you say you came to delight in those things that before rubbed you the wrong way? I can remember falling in love with the Psalms, falling in love with those scriptures that talk about loving God's law and wanting it to be my meditation all the day, because it was so sweet as we saw how Christ fulfilled it so totally and absolutely for us to give us that righteousness that we could never gain by our own law keeping. Amen. It was impossible. And Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And then to think about his delight in doing that, even before he came into the world. In Proverbs chapter 8, he said, and my delights were with the sons of men. Looking to what would be the habitable part of the earth, he was already moved with delight. Just thinking about us sinners, he was going to say, can you think about him loving us before we ever had our being? And to think about, even as he was there with the Father creating all things, and thinking about the part of the world that would be inhabited by sinners that he would come to save. What a delightful Savior. The Son of God meticulously observed every single precept of the whole law of God. Not because he was bound to do so, but in order to abolish such servitude to ordinances. He kept it all to break the cords that held us in bondage. When the scripture speaks of our liberty, it is result of Christ's full, cheerful, voluntary obedience. And you realize that our Savior died the death of a slave. The crucifixion that he suffered was what was particularly reserved for the execution of slaves. And our Savior bore that for us. Everything Jesus did was with a view to accomplishing our salvation. Amen. Of course, you remember that in his keeping of the law, he was not for a moment one that would yield to the countless additions that the Jewish rabbis had made to the law. They accused our Savior of being a Sabbath breaker, and they were condemning him because he would heal and do good on the Sabbath. Even for that, the Pharisees hated him. And Christ knew that they were only going by their vain traditions of all the things that had been added to the law of God. The rabbis had added that if you could not eat an egg that a chicken laid on the Sabbath day. If your cruse of oil was somehow bumped and got a crack in it, you could not melt a little wax and daub it to that to stop the loss of oil, because that was laboring on Sabbath day. That's how evilly meticulous they had become. And Jesus Christ would not accept their view of the law, because he knew that there were provisions in the law for relieving even animals, to water an animal, to deliver an animal that had fallen into a pit. And certainly, how much more poor souls are worth than an animal, amen, crushed under pain and with physical burdens. So praise God, we are no longer children nor slaves in that former bondage. But we have been delivered. Amen. For the fullness of the time has come. Secondly, the fullness of God's purpose had come. And what was God's purpose? There we read verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. So you see that double purpose. To redeem us from under that awful, hideous burden. And secondly, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God's purpose in Christ being made, born under the law, was to remove the hindrance of our being adopted as God's children. That was accomplished by Christ removing the curse from us by being made a curse instead of us, made a curse for us. He took all our curse. He took all of our breaches of the law of God upon Himself. All of our law breaking, bearing it all in His own body on the tree. The Son of God took upon Himself all of our penalties and all of our punishment that we so well deserve, and the wages of our sins that we had earned became His death. We were already spiritually dead, and all we needed to make that final was physical death to enter into eternal death. But praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ took all of that death to which we were bound and headed, and Christ interposed Himself in our place to suffer all of that death for us. He suffered not only the physical agony and death of the cross, but He suffered spiritual death, being separated from His Father that it had never happened in all of eternity. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That He would be all alone and forsaken of His Father as He was made sin for us. And as the infinite Son of God, as He made that atonement for us, He entered very truly as the infinite person into an eternal death, accomplishing it for us. And the Father accepted His full payment for every believing soul, so that all that will come to God by Him, by faith, are thereby brought into saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And such a saving union with Christ can only be formed by simply believing His word. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Coming to Christ is simply taking Him at His word. Amen. Believing Him. Wherever there is such a coming to Christ, trusting in Him, calling upon Him, there is effected this saving union with Christ. We are brought into union with Him by the gift of faith, made one with Him, the blessed result of simply trusting Him. If we are children of God, it is through faith in Christ alone. And if we believe in Christ, we are indeed the children of God. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Salvation is often, to so many people, seeming to be such a hard matter. It is hard because of our unbelief, but God has made it so simple. Amen. So the first purpose of Christ being made under the law was to redeem us and to purchase those that were under the law, under its curse and under its eternal penalty. And the second person, the second purpose of His being made under the law, is that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is wonderful. Adoption into God's family. Amen. With Christ as our elder brother, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are no longer the minor children spoken of in this context. We're no longer the underaged. But now, the Word of God makes it very clear to us that we are no longer servants. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant or a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And we can say, as verse 6 says, by the Spirit of God, having come into our hearts, we can cry, Abba, Father. He is so intimate and precious. He is our Father through His eternal, only begotten, well-beloved Son. We are the adopted sons of God. Do you ever think about that? When Jesus taught us to pray, He taught us to pray, our Father. And you don't see that in the Old Testament. You look, but you will not find them addressing God as our Father. And what a wonderful thing it is when we come to God in prayer to realize that we have been adopted into His holy family. And not because of anything in us, but because of His dear Son and the awful price that He paid for us. We rejoice because of the Son brought into the family. Christ is our elder brother, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we can pray, hallowed be thy name. May the name of the triune God be exalted, and may the kingdom be extended and advanced and increased because of who the Lord is. But I say, as this scripture is before us today, to make certain that you are a child of God by adoption. This is the new birth. So the question for each of us is, have we indeed been born of God? Have you passed from death into life? Have all things passed away? Have all things become new? Are you still in nature's darkness, or are you now in God's marvelous light? Do not be content to remain under condemnation when free pardon is so open and offered to you. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not do this, that, or the other. You who know this wonderful salvation, pray for those to turn to Christ today, to call upon Him, that they would know Him and turn to Him and be united to Him by faith. Because as soon as we believe, immediately we are made the righteousness of God in Him. I will never forget sitting in Faith Free Presbyterian Church about where my brother Gary is sitting this morning. And Brother S.B. Cook was preaching the word. And I was a lost preacher. I was sitting there feeling guilty because the people knew I was a preacher. They didn't know I was lost. I had put on a good show. And that morning God dealt with me, and I saw for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness, my only righteousness. Had no righteousness apart from Him. And it was that eye-opening experience to rely upon Christ alone for salvation. Without Him, the door of heaven was forever shut to me. And I thank God that nothing stood in my way that day. I had, for a long time, had an evil heart of unbelief, but I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day, and I was saved forever. Even as the jailer cried out to the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" That wonderful answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We thank God that our Savior came into the world to save sinners. And we find that need in our hearts. We find that eligibility because we know that we're sinners against God. But so wonderful to be saved by grace. Let us pray together. Let us pray. Brother Gary, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our gracious God, eternal Heavenly Father, would you thank thee for the Lord's Day? We're thankful, Father, that we're able to come. And as we heard, we're grateful that we are able to call thee, Father. Thank thee that we have been chosen in the beloved.
Yes.
Thank thee for Christ who has come and give himself upon that cruel tree. Father, we do thank thee that he was born into this world as a man that leave his home in heaven and come to live. We do thank thee that he lived for us and died.
Yes.
He is our righteousness because he lived a perfect sinless life. We do thank thee for the law that has pointed us to Christ. Shown us our sin.
Yes.
But you thank me, Father, that through his death, Christ conquered sin and death. We're thankful that we can now come and know that we're accepted. But you thank me for the word we heard. Father, we thank you for our brother who preached Christ to make much of the blood. Father, we're grateful for that. Continue with us through the rest of this day.
Yes.
And may we continue to know thy presence in the Lord's day.
Yes.
Give thee all the thanks, honor, and glory in Jesus.